8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Knotfest.com presents Talk to Me. With over 300 interviews under his belt and 6 years running, your host Joshua Toomey interviews metal and rock's heaviest hitters. Follow the show at Talk to Me Talk. Here's your host, Joshua Toomey.
All right, guys, let's welcome Justin Foley of Libica and Killswitch Engage to the Talk to Me podcast here, knotfest.com. Justin, how are we doing today?
Doing great. Glad to be here.
You were just talking about the hurricane down there. Did you guys have any issues? This one wasn't as televised as most hurricanes, so I'm assuming it wasn't as bad. But any issues for you guys?
No, it wasn't bad at all. Just a couple tree branches, but nothing really. Nothing bad. We had one a few months ago. I was on tour and one came through and knocked down the back of our fence. So that's kind of like patchwork up right now. And I was like, oh, great. Another one's going to roll through and blast it right back down. But nope, that stayed up. So yeah, no big deal. Major flooding where I am or anything. So it's fine.
Nice. No random trampolines ended up in your backyard or anything like that.
No, nothing like that. No.
When did you move to Florida? Have you always been a Florida guy? I know you've were more north.
Yeah, I moved down there like 12 years ago at this point, so it's been a while. Gone through some hurricanes. This is the first one I've been home for in this house. We moved like a year or so ago. So, everything was fine. All the shutters worked. Everything was good.
Nice. Yeah, they're boarding everything up.
We have pretty easy like accordion, like fold up ones.
Oh, nice. Good.
Those wood boards, man, that is crazy. That is such a hard job when you have to put those things up on the house. It's no fun.
I'm assuming something like you is like the reverse would be like a someone from Florida moving to the north and dealing with snow and like an actual like many feet of snow, you know, trying to deal with that. You know, you're kind of dealing with the opposite.
Yeah, those blizzards are no joke, man. I do not miss shoveling. That's for sure.
Yeah, I'm like I told you earlier, I'm kind of in the middle. I get like some snow and then we get some rain. We get a little bit of everything, man. We don't have too many extremes here in the Midwest.
Although some of that, I lived in St. Louis for a while too, and there would be like some ice storms.
Yeah, the ice is the issue. That's what everybody makes fun of drivers in the South and where we are around here for all of it. It's not the snow, it's the ice. It's just the infrastructure that we have is not prepared for, you know, tons of ice and snow. But I think over the years they've gotten better with the ice. So good times.
Yeah.
But yeah, I grew up in Nashville, and it would be funny. We would get like a sprinkling of snow and we would be out for school, and like all my friends from up north would be like, you guys are, you know, pussies down there. Right. And I'm like, it's not the snow, it's the ice, it's safety, man.
Yeah. And then meanwhile, people from Buffalo are going to snow with, you know, going to school with 20 feet of snow.
Oh yeah. Good
no
times,
problem.
Man.
Buses just plow right through it.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the record, man. The Libica record's out now, out on Metal Blade Records, which is amazing. I'm assuming you guys are having a good time over there with Killswitch and you guys. But talk a little bit about this band, man. No vocals, all instrumental, good stuff.
Yeah, it's it just kind of came together from a lot of kind of old stuff that I had written that didn't really have a home yet, you know, and I knew it wasn't quite going to be Killswitch material. Just sort of had it sitting around, wasn't sure what to do with it, and but talked to Doug and Joey, have been my friends for years, and we've always kind of kicked, like musicians do, they kick around ideas of, hey man, we should play together and all that stuff.
Like everyone said, man.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, dude, let's start a band together. And then, you know, it never happens until the world shuts down and you have nothing to do, and then you're actually like, maybe this would be something to actually do. So it was fun, and Doug and I were both just like, yeah, we're tired of drums. Let's play something else. So he's playing bass and I'm noodling around on a guitar. And it was a lot of fun to do that and just have a whole different perspective on being in a band and just listening differently. It's crazy how you get so used to listening to everything a certain way when you play drums, and then you're playing a different instrument and you're just like, well, what's going on here? Like, what? fit into this in a totally different way, which is really a lot of fun to do.
So as of now, there are three drummers in this band. So, I mean, how do you guys just like all sit around and you're like, all right, I think this next part should be like 5/4 with like a ghost snare, you know, like yeah. I feel bad for your current drummer, man. With so many like drummer ideas throwing, you know, coming at him.
Three drummers and no singer. Pretty good.
Perfect formula for me.
Yeah. We just got to start getting Joey some drum lessons. They do a fourth drummer, all drummer band.
Well, I guess it's going to be better for him because I'm assuming, you know, I've been in bands too, where, you know, the guitar player, or the bass player, or whatnot, are trying to tell the drummer what to play. And it's just like gibberish. It's like, no, we need like a doom, doom, pat, doom, 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 pat, pat, you know?
Yeah.
So I'm assuming you guys have a better language than that.
It is cool. We can tell them something like we know how to speak the language pretty right. easily, you know? So that's a cool thing. But yeah, I mean, it's pretty funny to have all of us. And it's cool. Like when we have shows and Doug and I can sit there and not have to bring the drum hardware case in.
Oh yeah. That's like,
yeah. That thing is always the worst.
Yeah, now that you can just, you know, grab your guitar head, your guitar cabinet, and your guitar and get off stage and you're done. And you're like, you mean I could have been doing this the whole time?
Right. So much easier. But the thing that drives me nuts is having to deal with electronics. Like,
Right.
That's my nemesis right there. Because the drums, I just hit something and makes a noise and there's no problem. And now I'm plugging something in and I'm like, okay, there's a buzz. Now I've got, you know, 20 patch cables to go through and find out where the fuck this is coming from. It's like, oh, great. Perfect.
Wiggling stuff. Is everything grounded? You know?
Yeah, I know. That's a whole new game that is not that fun.
Just from a writing standpoint, how much have you written over the years in Killswitch?
Some stuff here and there. I think like the first few, records that I did that, it was sort of like I didn't really bring demos in the way that I have for the last few records. It was more like we're all sort of together hashing ideas out. So
it's, right.
I wasn't bringing any riffs into the table. I was sort of like, oh, well, let's try arrangement ideas or whatever, stuff like that. And then once we kind of moved apart a little bit, and then GarageBand was a thing that everyone had on their computers. It was super easy to use and you could like demo stuff and we could send each other stuff from long distance. It was more, there would be more like actual riffs and song ideas better thought out that I would kind of send in and contribute. But so it's just been little bits here and there. I think we're at our best when my songs don't make the record.
So, I mean, what made me think of that too was listening to the album. I mean, it definitely has some Killswitch moments. Like, you know, if you're a Killswitch fan, you're going to enjoy this. You know, this isn't just completely out of left field. Like sometimes when guys go off and do something from their main thing, this is, you know, still has hints of the things that you like. So I was kind of curious to see how much you wrote because it does have a little bit of that flavor in it.
I think if there's any moments in Killswitch songs that sound a little more spacier, then you might be able to point to an influence that I had in that part. I think Adam and I like that kind of stuff a lot. But, you know, I'm not trying to shoehorn stuff into Killswitch that doesn't belong there either. So, and that's, right. That would have been a lot of this stuff, you know, wouldn't quite make sense if I was going to bring it in as a Killswitch demo, you know, and I knew that. And that's why I have stuff lying around. And it's not like, a lot of times I don't normally sit around and try to write like a Killswitch song. I'll just have random ideas and then they'll turn into stuff. And then I'll be like, okay, what am I going to do with this? You know, sometimes they'll be like, okay, we're going to be in writing mode. And then I'll start getting in like more of a Killswitch headspace. But also like Joel and Adam are awesome guitar players and write some pretty shreddy riffs. And it's far beyond my capabilities as a guitar player. So I'll sort of have ideas and be like, yeah, I sort of have this idea, but better. So guys, make it better than that.
Right. Take these bones and it makes it make a nice house out of it. Yeah.
Yeah, totally.
For you doing this, the Libeco band, you know, doing live shows and stuff, getting out on stage and not just being stationary, you know, being able to like, oh, I can stand over here if I want to. Oh, and now yeah. I feel like going over there, you know, how liberating is that for being so many years behind the kit?
It's scary, actually. It's right? really scary. I think I love one of the things I love being a drummer is like no one pays any attention to you. So you just sit right. there. You're behind like a fort a little bit.
Yeah.
And you just do your job and, you know, you're kind of hanging out. I'll look out and nobody will be looking at me, especially in my band where I have guys running all over the place, like nonstop. And
right.
so much to look at and everything. And I'll just be like, yeah, cool. No one cares what I'm doing back here. And this is awesome. I'm just going to do my thing. And now I'm standing in the front,
right.
super exposed. And people are like, so that's it's a little scary. And I'm also, when you're playing drums, it's extremely physical. So when you're into a part and you're way into a part and you're just like hitting from here and it's super satisfying, physically satisfying, and with a guitar and you're way into a part and it's just like this.
right. What else are you going to do?
Yeah. I want to do a big thing here, but there's nothing I can really do. So I'm just trying to figure out how that whole thing works and still actually be able to play. So
you can just end up looking like Doyle from the Misfits and just punching the guitar. You know, like, right. like this part is heavy. So I'm going to show you how heavy it is by punching the guitar.
By punching it, right.
I assume if anybody is staring at you during a Killswitch Engage show, they're also a drummer. Like they're like, you know, focusing in on you and just judging every movement you're making. And they're like, all right. Yeah. Okay. I guess you did that. Okay. You know, like doing that stuff.
Well, it's definitely not like it's a Rush concert or anything.
True.
Like, air drumming the parts. So I don't have to, I don't have to deal with that. I just sort of hang out back there and groove, which is pretty fun.
One thing, and we'll kind of bounce back, I guess, between the bands, but the one thing with Killswitch I've always enjoyed with you is you don't have a giant elaborate kit. Like I've always loved drummers that play in heavier bands that can just simplify it down to, you know, just what you need and not have the gigantic, you know, double bass and, you know, four rack toms and a couple of gongs and everything else, you know, like you just, you know, get in there and get it done.
Yeah, I don't think that the bands would sound right with all that stuff, you know? I think that the kit just sort of suits the music, really. And also, like, who wants to lug around all that stuff? I mean, I didn't. I used to, like, way, way back in, when I was in high, I mean, I had a Rush drum set. I mentioned Rush again, of course. But I would have, like, yeah, I would have everything. And then I would start bringing that to shows and like with my old bands and have like a really big kit and everything. I was made fun of like crazy by the hardcore kids for showing up with a big drum set like that, but I didn't care. And then I just gradually was like, oh, I don't want to carry this around anymore. And I just kept pairing it smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller. And then then people would be like, where's your huge kit? Never win. Everyone's mad now that I was playing a five piece.
That's what made you cool, man. You know, that's what made you stuck out in the hardcore scene. Yeah. And still nothing worse than a drummer taking apart his kit on stage. Like,
oh, right. No,
every little cymbal, just, you know.
I would have the rack, like a big rack.
Oh, nice.
All on the rack. And I could get that thing in there set up faster than just about anybody because it would just bring the rack in. And then that right. was it. It was like done. So everyone would be like, oh, my God, this guy's going to take forever. And then in a blink, it was there, like set up. And I'm like, oh, yeah, what are you going to say now? I remember one show in a basement, like carrying the rack down
nice.
The stairs into the basement and putting it in there. It was crazy. But.
Gotta love basement shows, man. Those were the days. Well, speaking of shows, what are you looking forward to do shows with Libeco?
We want to play all kinds of, like whatever we can play. We've had a few. We have one tonight actually in Fort Lauderdale, nice. Which I'm pretty stoked for. But yeah, we're looking to play, you know, everything we can get. Lucky I keep convincing the Killswitch guys into letting us play with them because we did one show in Albany on this last tour that was like a Killswitch off date show, and we're gonna do these three shows between Christmas and New Year's up in the Northeast, and I scammed the guys into letting us play those, so that'd be a lot of fun. I'm super duper scared to get in front of that many people. Cause like the last one's at the Palladium in Worcester, which is like our home venue. Really. We played there so many times and done DVD shoots there and everything. It's like, probably the most comfortable place that there is for us.
Right.
And I'm going to be playing guitar in it now, which is going to be the most uncomfortable thing I can think of, but really looking forward to it for sure.
As a musician, are you, I guess how comfortable are you with the guitar? Like, is this like, are you, you know, do you feel like you're capable of getting up there and doing the show flawlessly without any issues? Or are you, you know, like you said, kind of scared?
I'm definitely nervous, way more nervous than I felt playing drums in forever, probably, with this. And, you know, navigating the pedals is a little tricky. this whole coordination thing with my feet, it's weird. I don't know. I can't get the pedals right. But just in the seeing and everything when it's dark and all that stuff. Like, it's one thing to just jam it in a room
with
other guys, and it's another thing. That's an entire other thing. It's just, and it's all just going to come from playing more shows and getting more comfortable in that environment. So we haven't had enough of them yet where I could say I'm comfortable. I feel like I can play our songs well, but playing our songs well in front of people in that setting is a different thing that just takes practice. Really, there's no other. You can't shortcut live shows, you know.
Right. Well, speaking of live shows, you guys just got off the Lamb of God Killswitch Omens tour, man. The question I had for you on that one was, did you enjoy having multiple openers throughout the entire tour? Were you paying attention to the opening bands and see how they, you know, kind of how each band stacked up, you know, with the crowds everywhere, things like that? Did you pay that much attention to all of the openers?
Yeah, absolutely. It was cool. It was pretty fun to, well, first of all, Baroness was on for a while, and Baroness is awesome. So that was really cool. And I hadn't really seen, I don't know if I'd ever seen them play before, never met them. So that was a really, really cool thing. It was pretty interesting to have just kind of different vibe, kind of shift throughout the tour, which is a little weird. It's probably a little more difficult for crew guys, because once everything is like rolling like clockwork and then new people come in, it's probably not ideal from a crew situation. But it was a cool thing to sort of keep it fresh, you know, like, because those tours get long, you know, when you're in week five, it's a long tour, and then just have new people come in, it just sort of re-energizes everyone on it just naturally.
Yeah, because if I'm not mistaken, I mean, the band that would basically play right before you was the Interchangeable band. So, you know, you kind of got a different vibe going into Killswitch, you know, every you know, few days, every few weeks.
You know, it didn't, I don't say from the crowd standpoint, it didn't feel really much different when we were up there. I think it just kind of felt, it was like when we started playing it, for me, it didn't feel like, oh, I could tell that so-and-so played before. Right. Yeah, I couldn't tell any of that.
Right.
But it was just fun in general, just having that kind of new energy come in throughout the tour.
Nice. And Atonement, man, I've gone since it came out, you know, gone to bat and be like, do not let this become an album lost to COVID, you know, because it's an amazing album. And, you know, I've had Jesse on the show a few times, things like that, just making sure everybody knows that this album is out there. We need to kind of keep it going, man, because it came out great, you know, with everything.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, we tried. It was definitely bad timing, obviously, right. But we're not the only ones that happened to.
Right.
So, I think over the last year, or since touring opened up a year and a half ago or whatever, we did that run with Slipknot, which was pretty sick. We've been out there playing and pushing it and just trying to make sure that that people are digging those tunes, and we've been playing a lot of songs from it too live, to just like you know, that's how you can kind of introduce, I guess, people to it, by playing those songs live. And there are some pretty good rippers on that are a lot of fun to play. And obviously it was really cool to do Signal Fire with Jones. Mm-hmm. was a really, really fun thing to do.
Yeah, on that, man, the you know, with him kind of coming back around the camp a lot and just getting up on stage doing the Signal Fire, and just seeing Jesse and Howard kind of having a friendship, you know, I spoke to him, you know, to Jesse about that, about his, you know, kind of their friendship and how they kind of broke the internet there for a minute when that photo of them came out, and all of us, you know, hardcores kind of, you know, just like almost shed a tear because those two are in a photo together and things like that. Now just seeing it, you know, him kind of just jumping up with you guys all over the place and Jesse really embracing that. And it's got to be good for you too, because obviously your history with Howard goes way, way back. So kind of just seeing an old friend get up there, man, it's got to be awesome for you.
It's so much fun. It really is. And just see him and hang out with him, and he's killing it right now. Howard's doing, like, it seems like he's guesting with everybody. Like, he's just constantly going and doing something with this person and this person and this person. And he's just churning out all kinds of stuff right now, which is great. So we're so thankful that we were able to get that tour rescheduled as it was supposed to originally be, with the same package and everything, and to be able to do that, because, you know, it was no guarantee once everything started getting rescheduled that everyone was going to be available. But luckily, August Burns Red and Light the Torch were, and we did it. It was awesome.
Yeah, I think anytime any band, you know, needs a replacement vocalist, I'm like, call Howard. Just call Howard. And I think I heard him talk about on a maybe a Justice show or something, but he was talking about, I guess, when Mark Hunter got up with Lamb of God, that should have been Howard, because Howard was kind of the guy in the waiting in the wings to be the fill in for Randy. And, but it was, I guess, the second leg of a tour, and just the timing didn't work out, man. But man, I would kill to see Lamb of God with Howard vote, you know, fronting them. No slight to Randy, because Randy's amazing. But like, just to see that one night would be worth a drive and a ticket for that show.
That would be so interesting. It's cool. I mean, yeah. In doing Lamb of God tour was fun again, because we've been doing tours with him forever. I mean, the first Killswitch tour I ever did was the Headbangers Ball tour in 2003. Oh, wow. That was with them.
Nice.
And we played Blood Has Been Shed shows with them before. So, I mean, we've known them, those guys, forever and ever and ever. So it's really fun that we're still doing it this many years and this many gray hairs later.
Right. Yeah. We've all got the gray hairs coming in, man. It's crazy. I got some in my mustache now. I don't know where those, I don't know how I feel about it in the mustache. The beard wasn't too bad, but now it's popping up in the mustache. And I'm like,
have you noticed that those ones grow faster? The gray ones grow faster.
Yeah.
Like, weird. They'll just like be sticking out way farther than any of the other ones. And they're always the gray ones. Another one.
Talking gray hairs, man. That's awesome. You know, one thing, kind of going back to the Libeaker record, the one thing that I've always kind of heard, there's a quote I heard a long time ago, and I don't know who said it, but they were always talking about that, like, instrumental songs, like, kind of stand the test of time. You know, those are the ones that, you know, that kind of can live through anything. And even if you go back to Call of Cthulhu or Orion, you know, like early Metallica stuff, I mean, those are kind of songs that you can't touch, because, you know, you can't really, you know, the lyrical content, you know, doesn't age and things like that. So like, instrumental songs can, you know, kind of stand the test of time. So you kind of got that going here.
I've always really liked it. I have a feeling like, all right, like, there's something there trying to just let melody take over the whole thing, and you know, it doesn't need to have anything other than what it is. And I also think people can attach whatever they want to it. I know that happens lyrically too, obviously, when there's something that really moves you lyrically, like, there's nothing can really compare to that. But you can also just take something that doesn't have any words, and you can kind of attach whatever you want to it too, and that can also be something that people can just sort of take with them for, you know, forever if they want to. So it was fun to try to do that and write things that were remaining interesting without words, and seeing if that was a thing that can happen. And there's some, I would say that there's maybe half of the songs on the record have more of a sort of traditional songwriting structure with them, and parts that would be choruses, like we would call them the choruses when we were practicing or whatever. And then others don't really have that, and they just sort of have something else going on, and trying to make both of those work was a real fun challenge, I think, with the band.
Was it always going to be an instrumental thing, or was there like, all right, who can we get to sing? Or did you just the whole time, was it going to be instrumental?
Yeah, I've wanted to do that for a long, long time. Cause I have very deep love for music like that. Like, Caspian is one of my absolute favorite bands, and And even bands like, even stuff like ISIS, even though there are vocals, I feel like there's still gigantic sections that don't rely on them. And I wanted to do something like that. I wanted to take that kind of like the power of ISIS and blend it with some of the other stuff that like Caspian and Mogwai do, and like even Sigaros, even though they have vocals, but it's still like do something like that and just sort of have it kind of mixed together, just slightly more, I guess, metal-ish, kind of like, because I always really like harmonized metal leads, like from old Metallica or
right.
Thin Lizzy, stuff like that. I love all that stuff. And just trying to have stuff like that in there as well, and throwing all that together. But I always want, and originally I was thinking about calling the band Oceanic in tribute to the ISIS record, because it's one of my absolute favorite records ever. But yeah, ended up with naming it after something cat related, which is much
better. Right. Oh man, what an unfortunate band name ISIS is, man. That's just like,
I know, bummer.
I know it's old news, but I'll tell you a quick story. My cousin, her daughter, she named her daughter ISIS, obviously pre all this stuff. And she tells a joke that she was going to, and the two names she had were either going to be ISIS or Britney. And she didn't want to use Britney because of Britney Spears. She thought she would get picked on because of Britney Spears. So she went with ISIS. And I'm like, well, and now you're stuck with it.
That sucks.
But yeah, man. Well, obviously with the cat thing, man, I'm assuming big cat person.
Yeah, all of us in the band are pretty big cat people. We got Joey's cat on the cover. We got the insert has us with one of our cats, but yeah, it's just something, we're all big animal people, wanted to do something cat related.
Will there be any kind of ties with like the Humane Society, you know, maybe doing a cat charity or something?
That would be awesome. Yeah. I think we'd love to do something like that at some point. Just gotta make it worthwhile to them. You know, build the band up a little bit before anyone would care about
here's
it.
Here's your yeah. check for $8.
Yeah, exactly. Hope it helps.
Yeah.
Buy a cat toy.
I always think about that. I'm like, I should partner with like the animal shelter here, because you know we got our dog from the shelter, and I follow him a lot on online and stuff. And I'm always like, man, I should do something. And then I'm like, here's your bag of dog food, yeah. Which I'm sure they would enjoy, but it's still like, you know, I want to do more. But
yeah, I know. But you're doing more for the dog you got, though.
Yeah, well, she's a mess. She did the same when we were actually going to pick out another dog, and we were going to pick up the dog we wanted, and we saw her, which is Abby, and we're like, all right, well, we'll take her out to the little play area and play with her. She's a, you know, cool looking black dog and whatever, some sort of mutt. But we take her out, and she walks up to us, and she puts her paw on our knees like she chose us, right?
Yeah.
And we were like, oh my god, She loves us, you know, there's must be a connection there, blah, blah, blah. She does that to everybody. Like the cable guy will come by to fix something, and he'll be working on something, and she'll put her paw on. All she wants is some attention. But where we thought she was being sweet and choosing us, she's just a jerk.
She got duped.
I know, man, but she's a good one.
You can't resist them.
They're sweet, right,
faces, right? And everything. Yeah. We have a dog too. We've got a lot, like our, who knows how many, we're definitely at an average of more than four animals per band member, pretty safely, I would say, in this band. So,
it's a lot.
A lot of animals, which is great though. But,
yeah. No, you can't go wrong with all that, man. So we've talked shows, we've talked everything else, man. So what's kind of the, I guess what's 2023 look like for the band?
Hopefully touring, you know, that's when you really can find out what you're made of. I think playing every day, being out in the driving, hanging out, like surrounded with everybody every second of your life for however long it is. That's when you really do it. So yeah, we want a tour. There's not a whole lot coming up on the Killswitch calendar, so there's definitely time for it. You just need somebody to want to take us out. Hello, all the bands out there. We're ready to go.
Hello, ready to play. and we don't have a singer, so no LSD, no lead singer syndrome. You want
right? I mean, that's a pretty good selling point, I think.
I mean, a band full of drummers, I mean, you guys probably should all just kind of be pretty chill and relaxed to tour with. So from my experience with drummers over the years.
That's good. I'm glad you've had positive experience with drummers over the years.
I think
so. There can definitely be some loud hyperactivity drummers as well.
True. Yeah. The more you say that, the more like old drummers are popping up in my head. And I'm like, oh yeah, that guy. Okay.
Or never mind. I'll stop.
Stop talking. You were ahead a minute ago. You said there's not a lot on the Killswitch thing going on. So it was a lot of writing. What's going on with Killswitch?
Yeah. I think it's probably getting to be about that time to start, seeing what we got for something new, but we just have those three holiday shows right now on the books, and maybe some other stuff trickling in next year. But there's time. There's definitely time in the schedule for a lot of other stuff to happen with with maybe getting some new music. I guess it would be 2019 it's definitely time.
Yeah, it's been a minute.
Yeah,
there was something that kind of paused us all there for a little bit.
Yeah, there's a weird, weird thing. But yeah, it's about time. So hopefully we can just get Libica. Hopefully we can get on the road and start bringing this music to people outside of Florida, really.
Well, I mean, judging by every time that anybody posts tour dates and if Florida is not on there, the Floridians freak out and they're like, why are you not coming to Florida? So
it's hard. It's like it's hard there to get in and out now just because you have to go all the way, obviously, down to Florida, especially South Florida where I am. There's not a lot of stuff that comes this far south that often. But when it does, I think people turn out for it and it's worth it. There's some really cool spots like in Fort Lauderdale and everything. There's good spots to play.
Yeah, being here in Louisville, man, it's like Louisville used to be like a hotbed for especially like hardcore and stuff like that. Like there would always be shows and everything else. I don't know what's happened over the last couple of years other than the pandemic, but I'm just saying like club wise and even pre-pandemic, you know, like we were starting to kind of go away, and then now like every time you see a tour announced, like Louisville is never on these tours at all.
Yeah, as I'm thinking about it,
it's Indy. Indy gets a lot of shows, which I'm about an hour and a half, I think, south of.
That's the thing. I'm sure there's a lot of places that are drivable. I mean, I remember being in St. Louis. You could drive to you have lots of options that were like 3 to 4 hours away. It's still kind of a haul, but at least there's some options.
Oh, yeah. I mean, growing up in Nashville, being in bands in Nashville, I mean, you know, Atlanta's 4 hours south, Louisville was 3 hours north, St. Louis was 4 hours this, you know, every direction you went, you know, you were going to find a major city, Memphis and whatnot. And so, yeah, you could book some pretty sweet little runs. I mean, I couldn't imagine being a band in like, you know, Butte, Montana or something, but, you know, trying to book a tour out there because, you know, I've definitely played shows out there and it's just like, all right, the next show is 9 hours away. And you're like, Jesus Christ.
That was really something that was lucky about growing up in the Northeast too.
Yeah.
A million shows all over the place, and so easy to get anywhere. I mean, just being in Connecticut right between Boston and New York, it was just like totally spoiled.
Right. Oh yeah. That whole area up there, man. Yeah. It's just nice to be able to kind of, you know, just go whichever direction and find some shows, man.
Yeah, absolutely.
And hopefully, you know, Libica, you know, you can do the smaller runs of you know, you can play Miami and Fort Lauderdale and probably be okay. You know, you're probably not going to run into too many radius clauses right out the gate.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to be a problem. Got to get out to Tampa. Got to get, we did play near Orlando. We played Gainesville. So we're getting there a little bit, but we gotta get out of Florida, get to the rest of the country.
You guys are going to start making the laminates for like the weekend shows, you know, like this is our weekend tour of Savannah, Georgia. And
sure, I'll do it.
There you go. Well, tell everybody how they can find the record. And I know that, did you put out vinyl? I believe I saw vinyl in this one too. So it looks like you got, four different ways you can get it.
We did vinyl and CD compact discs, which sound awesome. Everyone forgot how good they sound, but they sound awesome. So don't sleep on CDs. But that, it's all, you can get everything you want on Metal Blade. which is, we're super stoked that they supported the band and wanted to do this with us. Pretty awesome, right. Awesome thing. So yeah, just go. You can go through Metal Blade and you can listen to it. And it's streaming everywhere on every streaming thing that there is. That's where you go. And then we've got, obviously we have some of the videos that we've put out, and you know, I think the Metal Blade YouTube, or just even Ludvika Bands on the socials, all that stuff. So
whenever you get around Brian Slagle, do you fanboy out a little bit, or do you just hope he trickles out like a story about, you know, early Slayer, or like, you know, the Metallica, you know, Metal Massacre stuff? Like, do you ask him those questions, or you just hope he like just starts spilling those stories?
You know what? We mostly talk about sports.
Nice.
He's such a huge sports fan. So a lot of times when I see him, we start talking about sports or hockey a lot lately, because he's a super, super big hockey fan. So that's where a lot of it is. And we just did that kind of like 40th anniversary kind of show that we had in Vegas. It's really cool. And I think we spent most of the time talking about sports, but he does have good, obviously he has good music stories too. He's been around forever. He knows everybody that's even dipped their toe into metal music at any time. So it's pretty cool. Awesome thing he's built there. That label is fantastic.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Good times, man. Well, Justin Foley, man, huge thanks to you for coming on the show. And like I've said, man, Killswitch, one of my all-time favorite bands, I will go to bat for at all times. And I will always say the most ripped off band of all time. Like, I know you guys can't say that, but I'm just saying, like, I have heard so many bands, like new bands coming out, and you're like, that's just Killswitch again. Like, you know, like, oh, you're going to scream the verse and sing the chorus. All right, cool. That's cool.
Thanks a lot. I mean, we're all thrilled to still be doing this for this many years, and what a fun time.
Good times, man. Well, yeah, once again, man, thanks for coming on the show. Make sure you check out Libica wherever you can find it. Make sure to go order it. Go buy a compact disc. It sounds good.
Yeah.
And once again, man, thanks for coming on the show.
Thanks so much for having me. Take it easy.
The Talk To Me podcast, presented by Knotfest.com. Follow the show at Talk To Me Talk. Be sure to subscribe, rate the podcast, and leave a review on your favorite podcast app to get the latest from the Talk To Me podcast.